The news is back. A new iPhone bumper, Jobs home robbed, SimCity for Mac, Dark Sky 2.0, dirt cheap surfaces, and Jaws finally comes to the iTunes store. It's Wednesday, August 15th, 2012, and this is iWake. I'm Tim Chatton, and this is what's going on in the Apple world today. Good morning, and welcome back, or I should be welcoming myself back to another edition of iWake. Today we continue on with iWake being a daily Apple news show. And I am back from my family vacation and I'm excited to get back into the news. I hope you've enjoyed the slightly different format this past week. If not, it was either that or nothing. So that's that. With that said, Apple released a new product just yesterday. Now this isn't the new iPhone. This is a bumper for the iPhone 4 and 4S. It now comes in red. This is another one of Apple's Product Red products. A small portion of the sales will go to help those in need in the Africa region, mainly those afflicted with AIDS and things like that. Apple's done quite a bit of these products in the past, including iPod Shuffles, iPod Nanos, iPad Smart Covers, and a few other odd and accessories. There's a lot of history there, and I'm excited to see this bumper in person. I personally love Product Red stuff and have nearly all of the Product Red products from Apple, including Shuffles, Nanos, Smart Covers, things like that. The red bumper is really going to look awesome against that white iPhone. And this should give some new life or excitement for those not upgrading to the new iPhone coming out just next month. The bumper currently has a 5 to 6 day ship time, but will probably be available right now at your local Apple store. Meanwhile, the home of Steve Jobs got robbed. More than $60,000 worth of computers and personal items were allegedly stolen. There is a suspect arrested, and many of the items did get returned already. Evidently, this was not an accident. Sorry if I misspeak there. And the thief did not know it was Steve Jobs' home. A sad story, but one I hope will turn out all right. It's a good thing the family wasn't there at the time and they are safe and sound. The house was being renovated at the time and that may be the reason why it was targeted. Now, let's move on to some happier things and let's move on to some app news. First up is the exciting news that SimCity is coming to the Mac in a big way. According to the press release by EA, it will be coming to the Mac as a digital download via Origin. It's probably one of those online stores for selling games and things. It's coming in February 2013, with the development being led by the creative team at Maxis. The Mac version of SimCity will feature the same deep, rich gameplay that will define the PC experience as players on both platforms compete or collaborate to create a new world together. This is rather awesome news. I would have hoped that it would be distributed through the Mac App Store, but you can't win every battle, it seems. In other app news, it seems the Bank of America app has caught up to the Chase Bank app in one big way. The app now allows you to deposit checks within the app by just snapping a photo. According to Mac Rumors, Bank of America's personal customers can remotely deposit up to $5,000 in checks per month, $1,000 per month for new accounts, by simply taking photographs of the front and back of checks. Business and platinum account owners, holders, have slightly higher monthly limits. So pretty cool stuff. I have Chase Bank and I use their app quite a bit. It's very helpful as there are no Chase Banks here in Hawaii. So I rely on the app and the app alone. And other iOS app news is a big update to Dark Sky. Version 2.0 adds some rather cool things to this popular kickstarted weather app. According to The Verge, the big new feature is location-specific weather notifications, which allow users to be notified when it is likely to rain nearby within 15 minutes. Developers caution that this is an optional feature that is still experimental. The 2.0 update also adds a full weather map of the continental U.S. that displays weather activity over the past 12 hours. Developers plan to work on international support for the next version, and will add one country at a time based on user demand. So send in your emails to them to demand your country to be added. Existing owners can download the update for free right now, and new customers can buy it for $4 in the App Store. Sounds really cool. I personally don't have a need for this app since I live in Hawaii, where the weather is rather predictable. Last up in app news is an update to a Mac RSS app, which are even more important now than ever since Apple deprecated RSS in Mountain Lion. RSS apps are required to view RSS on the Mac now that Apple has taken them out of core apps like Safari and Mail. I use Reader on OS X and iOS, and I'm very happy with the decision. The app I'm talking about today is Caffeinated. The new update adds a customizable services toolbar, support for Delicious and Pinboard, improved subscription management tools, notification center integration, enhanced support for the MacBook Pro with Retina display, and a wide variety of bug fixes. The app looks rather nice, and if it wasn't for Reader and how awesome that app is, I'd probably be using this one. The app is definitely ready for Mountain Lion, and it's ready for your Retina screen, and it's just priced at $8 and available in the Mac App Store. So that's one option out there for RSS readers on the Mac. Now on to some mobile phone news. First up is AT&T getting ready to launch their shared data plans that really aren't good for anybody except AT&T. You can sign up for the new plans starting on August 23rd. Here's what the plans offer. So they've got plans 1 gig, 4 gig, 6 gig, 10 gig, 15, and 20 gig. 20 gigs at $200 and 1 gig at $40. Now they are bundling tethering, unlimited talk and text with all of these plans. So $40, unlimited talk and text with tethering. But that would be good if it was just those rates at 40, 70, 90, 120, 160, and 200. That is not the case though. So at the low end, $40 for 1 gigabyte of data with talk and text will cost you for, if you're using a phone, actually you'll have to use a phone for this, $45 to add just one smartphone. So you're paying $45 all the way down to $30 for phones to be added to these plans. So this share everything plan, it's not really sharing with everything because it'd be too expensive to do that. It costs you more than you were paying for data before for many people to just add a device to your plan, which is ridiculous to me. Now, if you want to add more devices to your plan, you're able to do tablets and gaming devices for $10 a month. You're able to do laptops and mobile hotspot devices, netbooks for $20 a month. But yeah, it's not that appealing of a plan if you ask me, as if you just paid for data, you'd be getting more data than what you get here. I'd rather pay $30 on my iPad for 3 gigs and another 30 elsewhere to get another 3 gigs, because that's 6 gigs right there. And you're getting $85 for 1 gig, but you get talk and text. I don't know. It's just a rather bad thing that they're doing. I was hopeful that we would get some really great shared data plans where we're able to add hundreds of devices to our accounts and just use our data when we want to use it. By charging some $30 or $10 a device, AT&T is making us hesitant upon adding devices to our plans, and the more devices we have, the more data we'll use, and thus the more money they will get for our plans. So it's not the best of worlds, so I think I'll take a pass on that. No thank you, AT&T. Another phone news is Sprint, offering a rather awesome deal on the iPhone 4S. So here's what happens. You pay $149 to get the 16 gigabyte model. With that, you get a $100 rebate. So basically $49 if you do the rebate for the iPhone 4S. Even when Apple lowers its price to $99, this is a good deal. If you're happy with Sprint and don't want the new iPhone, this might be your best bet. I should note that Apple will also price match to $149 if you do get the Sprint model. A gentle reminder, in September we are getting a new iPhone, and I'd highly encourage you to wait and see what is actually announced coming next month. Next up is a rather surprising thing. Engadget is reporting that the Microsoft Surface will sell for just $199. According to an inside source, a session was held at Microsoft's recent TechReady 15 conference in which all the launch details were laid out. Things going according to the plan detailed then, the Surface for Windows RT tablet will be launching October 26th, no surprise there, at a compelling price of $199. This would be kind of crazy. No 10-inch tablet of quality has ever sold for a price that low. Microsoft would certainly be subsidizing this price and make no money on the hardware at all. Actually, in fact, take a loss on the hardware. This would also put some pressure on the higher price point of the iPad. And imagine the OEMs would get a little angry here too, as there's no way they could compete here. I guess that the Surface would be priced at $600 since it's a 32-gigabyte device. Microsoft said it would price it around the same price as its competitors. Evidently, it sees the Nexus 7 and the Kindle Fire as its competitors and not the iPad, even though it's as big, or I should say bigger than an iPad. I'd be curious if the iPad mini will now hit that $199 price point. It seems everyone else is. Closing out the show today are a few notes in the entertainment industry. First up is iTunes, and that is, we now have Jaws in iTunes. Coinciding with the release of Jaws on Blu-ray, we now have Jaws in iTunes. It is that beautiful new transfer in 1080p done for the Blu-ray release, includes over 2 hours of bonus materials, which is almost unheard of for an iTunes extra release. Priced at $18, this comes in at $2 less than Blu-ray. I have been waiting for this for a long time to get an iTunes copy of Jaws. I'm really happy it's here. Oh, and for those wondering, Amazon, you can only rent HD copies if you do the Amazon store of the Jaws movies. So only SD purchases, no HD purchases if you're using Amazon. Whereas in iTunes, you can get HD copies for purchase of Jaws, Jaws 2, Jaws 3, and Jaws Revenge. Those were also made available for purchase. Now, if only E.T., the extraterrestrial alien movie, forget the title exactly, and Schindler's List made it into iTunes, I'd be all set. Happy Shark Week, everyone. Speaking of iTunes, there's a new batch of newly remastered for iTunes albums. Frank Zappa fans will be delighted here. It seems that nearly all of his albums are now available in a newly remastered format. Prices start at $10 an album. Last up today, it seems that YouTube is how the majority of teens listen to music, which I find kind of crazy, as it would be one song at a time, searching and listening, rather than albums which play consecutively. But I guess that is how the world is moving. According to Nielsen, 64% of teens listen to music through iTunes, 56% of through YouTube, so 64% through YouTube, 56% through the radio, 53% through iTunes, and 50% through the CD. Also of note, 63% of purchasers identified digital albums as a very or fairly good value, whereas 61% identified digital tracks as a very or fairly good value, and 55% identify physical CDs as a very or fairly good value. So it seems that albums are what teens think are the best value, that is digitally. Some interesting numbers for sure. You can read more about this by following the link in the show notes at iWakePodcast.com. And that's the show for today, and that's what's going on in the Apple world today. You can find the show notes at iWakePodcast.com. I also do videos over at YouTube.com/TCHATEN. And finally, if you'd like to access the script that I read from and write every day, you have access to all of those and bonus content with iWake Again. More information about that is at iWakePodcast.com/again. So scripts and more over at iWakePodcast.com/again. Thanks for listening or watching. I'll talk to everyone again tomorrow. Aloha.